Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Welcome, 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 Thin Line Believers. Hey, this week, there's just a couple of us here. It is myself and it is Josiah.
Welcome.
So welcome back. I hope that you enjoyed last week. I hope that it had an impact on at least somebody. I mean, if not, then, well, we don't know because we don't get a whole lot of feedback, but that's okay. It's okay. We keep doing it because for some reason people keep listening. I don't know why. It's not for me. It must be because of you guys. You guys must have a lot of friends in Colorado.
Nah.
So once again, we show up this week and we don't exactly have a clear picture of what we're going to talk about, right? But we know that that we need to get on here and we need to talk because the world's gone absolutely insane. In fact, before I hit that record button, we were just talking about Israel.
Mm.
And the reason this is important to keep track of is because Israel is God's timepiece, right? And more specifically, Jerusalem, the city that has God's name upon it. And actually, it's kind of cool if you look at it from an aerial view. You know this, I'm sure. You can actually see the symbol, right? It kind of looks like a W
for God,
for Yahweh. And it's pretty cool to see. But what's not cool to see is all the insanity going on in Jerusalem right now with this being Ramadan, right? And also Jerusalem Day there in Israel. And so we see 150 some odd rockets fired toward Israel. Of course, the majority of those were intercepted by the Iron Dome. And but it's just complete chaos. I mean, you think Portland's bad. This is like Portland around the entire country.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, it's pretty interesting to watch. I've heard people say that the nation of Jerusalem is the minute hand on God's prophetic clock, but the nation of Israel is the minute hand. The city of Jerusalem would be the second hand. So I think that's pretty accurate, but who knows? Maybe there's some prophecies this is leading up to. I don't know. Or maybe it's just some more of these birth pangs we see. You know, we've yet to see Ezekiel 38. Is it Zechariah 12, I think, is another one that sure is right on the cusp. So, but anyway, all that aside, Josiah, you chose a specific Bible chapter here. It's an intense one. It's obviously it comes from a guy who was, well, I'll just let you pick it up because you're the educated one here.
Oh, we're both educated. Let's pray.
No.
Should I hold this up? Oh, wait, you can't see it. Oh, there it is.
There you go. I find it funny and a little ironic that it's a.
Look it. You can't see.
I find it funny that it says it's a Bachelor of Arts.
Right?
Isn't that?
Here, let's, so, because I know we're on Rumble now. So let me just, let me do something here real quick.
Yeah, this is bragging rights here.
I know, right?
I think you ought to share that.
Here, let's do this. You mean?
There you go.
Like this one. And then let me get this out of here so I can see what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's not high school. So let's
bust boom. That.
There you go.
Look at that. That's tomorrow's awesome. The graduation.
Virtual?
Yeah.
Nice.
Otherwise, I'd be in California. I was hoping. Take a trip down to San Diego? Absolutely. Sign me up.
You can have California.
But, well, hey, you know, you go down to the beach. Anytime you're by the beach, it's a good thing.
I'll have to take your word for it. I haven't been anywhere other than Northern or at the airport. So
now there you go. Well, I stay away from Northern California.
Gotcha. So
I think I'm going to go no background today.
You were talking about specifically, you said 1 through 3.
I was thinking 1 through 3, but we could go the whole thing.
Tell you what, I'm going to read 1 through 3 and then I'm going to let you finish it out because I like the whole thing.
I know it is really, a good one.
I really like the last verse. I mean, I like it, but I hate it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
anyway, here we go. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. And that was Psalm 27, 1 through 3 in the New King James.
And I will continue. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be high above my enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices in his tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me. In your behalf, my heart says, seek my face. Lord, I will seek your face. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. You do not leave me or abandon me, God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Because of my adversaries, show me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do not give me over to the will of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be courageous and let your heart be strong. Wait for the Lord.
Yeah, that's the part that's hard, right? That's why I said that. I love it, but I don't. Microwave generation. I ask and I want it now. But
yeah.
Anyway, so
let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that God, even in the midst of our world around us falling apart in disarray, Lord, we have pastors being arrested and dragged through the streets in Canada. We have, Lord, your holy land being destroyed and attacked. God, we have in our own country turmoil, Lord, race against race, people against people, homes against homes. Lord, lawlessness on a rise. And Father, just justice and Lord, law being pushed down into nothing. God, and there's so much in our lives that we could say there is no good. And yet we see so much in this psalm. So Lord, would you open your word to our hearts today? Would you write it upon the tablets of our hearts deep inside that, Lord, we might not sin against you and that we might know your heart and that we might, Lord, as the psalmist, as David ends that psalm, Lord, wait for you. For we know, Lord, you are our salvation. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Josiah.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to jump right in because something just kind of leaps off these pages for me personally. And I think maybe this is a little, presumptuous, I guess. But I kind of think that David, if he's anything like me, wrote this down not as just a statement of fact. Right. But when I read, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This is more like I'm writing to myself. right? This is almost like self-talk here, in my opinion. And so I kind of do the same thing. I remember God's past faithfulness, and I remind myself of it to strengthen myself for future adversities, right? And so I don't know. That's what I see right off the bat here.
Yeah, absolutely. And who better to write that but than David, right? I mean, when I see right there at the in the first couple verses, when evildoers in verse two, when evildoers came against me to devour my flesh, my foes, my enemies stumbled and fell. I think of him before David and Goliath, right? Before Goliath, and Goliath is like, let me grab that up because I was looking it up earlier. Mm-hmm. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 44, Goliath told the young David at that time, right? He shows up to go feed his brothers. The Israeli army is out there. They're all ready for battle for war, geared up for war. You've got Goliath and the Philistines out there, and Goliath is coming out day in and day out, just taunting the Israeli army. And David comes up and he hears of this and he's like, what is going on? Well, Goliath looks at David and he says, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Right. And I just think like when you know that verse and then you read here and he's like, yeah, my enemies came and they talked about devouring my flesh, but yeah, they stumbled and fell. Right. I mean, his confidence, and it wasn't in him. We know from that battle that he fully trusted in God alone to fight that battle. I mean, he was outnumbered. He should not have won. And yet they defeated the enemy that day. And it's just, as you said, reminding ourselves in those moments of despair, in those moments of, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed. What has God done in my life? And that gives us the confidence to face what we face today. Yeah, absolutely.
This is a common theme for David, right? I mean, in another psalm, he said, why are you downcast within me, my soul? You know, I mean, like, suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty cool. But he also, you know, this is a man after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. And I think that he was always one that was trusting. And so he had that backing, right, going into this. This wasn't something new for him.
No, it wasn't. I mean, he understood who God was in his life. And I think that's so important for you and I and for those listening in our jobs and in our positions and where we find ourselves personally is who is God in our life and understanding that and holding fast to that, right? He says right in the first verse, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So he understands that, yeah, I might be in a dark spot right now. There might be dark clouds. There might be a storm. There might be no hope in the world's view, right? Yet God is my light. He's gonna, you know, shine the way, and he's my salvation. I have hope in this life because Christ is my salvation. He saved me. I know that when I breathe my last here on earth, it will be my first in heaven, looking Jesus in the eye. And right off the bat, I mean, if you do not know who Jesus Christ is as your Lord and Savior, before you can move on to any of the rest of this, you know, chapter, or even the rest of your steps in life, this is something you need to deal with right here and right now. Salvation is free to all, right? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and he was raised again from the grave, it says you shall be saved. I mean, Christ died for our sins that we might have hope in this life. And you cannot move on, you know, fear will control your life if Christ is not the master of it. And so when David says there, whom shall I fear? Well, it wasn't that, you know, as a human, he didn't have fear. He just knew who his God was, right? And he knew that God was going to come through. And he knew that no matter what happened, that was his hope. That was his strength. That's where his courage came from.
That's true. And it's interesting that that you picked this psalm that starts right off talking about fear. And that's probably because David was a little bit afraid.
Oh, I guarantee it.
And here he is talking himself down. And look around the world right now. Fear is a driving force, the driving force, I believe, behind all of this COVID stuff, this social justice stuff. I mean, it's fear of opposition. You know, you don't want to make waves. Fear of being ostracized. You know, the masks, that's you can't tell me that that's not driven by fear, right? And so you have people who are wearing masks because they're afraid to get sick. Okay, that's fine, whatever. You have people getting a vaccine because they're afraid of not having it, not being able to travel, not, you know, not being healthy. And okay, I get it. But I think that the foundation of all of it is fear, mm-hmm. right? And so what it reminds me of is Joshua mm-hmm. chapter 1, right? The probably the most fear-focused chapter maybe in the entire Bible.
Yeah.
Because how many times does God tell Joshua, don't be afraid, right? And the reason is, as you know, Josiah, is because Joshua had just been handed all these Israelites, and it was his job now to lead them into the promised land, right? Moses struck the rock a second time, and now he wasn't going to get to lead the people into the promised land. God in his grace allowed him to see it, but he wasn't allowed to lead him in. And here's Joshua, not a young guy anymore, but his first time leading this massive group that has already proven to be very, very difficult.
Oh, absolutely.
I would.
And a group that was doubting the very word of God, right? When God said, I've given you this land, go and take it. I mean, Joshua and Caleb came back and said, oh, we've got this.
Mm-hmm.
The other guys, oh, there's giants in the land and there's this. And Joshua and Caleb were like, yeah, but God said he was going to give it to us. I mean, mm-hmm. didn't he just take us out of Egypt? Didn't he just bring us through the Red Sea? Didn't he just, you know, make Jericho fall? I mean, like all again, like what we said, we look back and see God's work and his handiwork in our lives and how he's brought us through so much. And that's where we build our confidence. And yet when I take my eyes off of God and I take my eyes off of his word and I take my eyes off of who he says he is, and I put them out into the world, fear controls my life. And when fear controls my life, it's going to come crumbling down.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so here, just like you say, Joshua, he was told by God, I will never leave you or forsake you. Just like Jesus tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so Joshua led them in. Caleb, oh man, I love Caleb. When he gets into the promised land and he's right. given his inheritance, he doesn't choose the easy one, right? He chooses the land on the border saying, I got more fight in me.
Yeah.
And how old was that dude? Like 80, 90 years
old?
Oh
yeah, yeah. Right?
Make me like that guy.
Right? I'm like in my 40s and I'm falling apart. I'm like, oh, you know, these guys are like in their 80s and their prime. They're like, let's go to war. It's amazing to read these things. And as we've been talking about this, right? David's confidence, Joshua's confidence, it wasn't a weak confidence. It was battled tested. Yeah. Right. I mean, they knew it because they experienced it. And we could say that too in our jobs, right? I teach Krav Maga to our guys. We just got over training a week of you know, self-defense and arrest control and out in the range. And that was one thing I was pushing to my guys is, look, it, we need to be confident in our practice and in our art and in our self-defense. If I'm not confident in this, it won't work, right? If I go into it weak and I'm like, oh, and I throw a small little punch, yeah, we, you know, I don't go full force and have the guys hit each other in the head, but I talk about it like, hey, this punch or this technique you need to have in your mind. This is a battle tested technique, right? This is something that is an art that has been proven, that is saved lives. And this is what we need to have when we're using it or when we're stepping out in this, right? A battle mindset of I'm going home at the end of the night, and so are the other people around me. And this is the same confidence that we read about in our Bible. I mean, David went into battle in a battle that was, he shouldn't have won, and yet came away with it. And God taught him those out on the field when he was watching his sheep, right? And the bear comes in and the lion comes in and all, he takes them out. Like, what? Like, that to me is amazing. And God just showing his faithfulness. Oh, remember when I took the bear out for you? Remember when you took, you know, out this and you protected your sheep? This is, I'm that same God. And this is the, when you face the battles of life and when you face these things you're going up against, I haven't changed. And that's the cool thing, right? Our God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my circumstance might change. The storm in life might change. The battle that I'm in might change, but God doesn't change. Yep. And that's the hope that even, you know, today, Israel under fire has. I mean, if they would, and I pray for them every single day, right? That the those in Israel who do not know Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, that their eyes would be open to how mighty and how powerful he is and how he has a plan for their life, and they will not be destroyed. Though it might look like they are encamped and being destroyed, but these efforts by the world and Hezbollah and all these guys to take out Israel, they stand no chance. They stand no chance because God, who has put his name upon these people, will stand there for them and they will not be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So when you talk about that, though, you know, it makes me think, okay, so I'm not a David. Okay, so maybe I don't have that strength. Maybe I haven't been through that adversity. Maybe I'm a new Christian. And so I don't exactly have the foundation that you do. That's okay. You know, you don't have to be a Joshua. You don't have to be a Caleb or a David. You may be like 10 of the disciples who scattered like cockroaches, mm-hmm. when Jesus was hung on the cross, right?
Yeah.
Judas hung himself and the only one there was John, as far as I know. And I got a story here that maybe if you're one of those, maybe this will put your mind at ease. Okay, let's talk about a guy named Gideon. Mm-hmm. Because Gideon was not brave. In fact, Gideon tried to get out of his calling from God. He said God called him to lead these people because they were under thumb of the Midianites and the Amalekites. Mm-hmm. And so God called him. He said, you're going to lead my people to battle. And so obviously Gideon, he says, okay, I'm going to lay this fleece out. Lord, if you really, you know, if you're sure, make the ground wet with dew and the fleece dry. Okay, so God did that easy stuff. And Gideon says, oh, that's all well and good, but let's try again. This time, make the ground dry and the fleece wet, right? So we go through all that. God proves himself. And then he goes down, takes him to the river, and he's got all these men. And Gideon's like, okay, well, I've got enough men. Maybe this is possible. And then God says, nah, you got too many. So he tells him, send away any who are afraid. Okay. A whole bunch of them leave. And then he says, okay, now take them down to the river to get a drink. Okay. They all get a drink at the river. And he says, okay, now any who dipped their hand in the water and brought it to their mouth to drink, those ones are going to stay. The rest who bent down and stuck their face in the water, those ones are going to leave. And I like the way J.D. Farag talks about this, because he's like, he's like, you know, some people think that, okay, those ones who put their hand in the water and brought it to the mouth, those are like, you know, the special forces guys. Those are the ones always on the lookout. But J.D.'s like, I think they're the old guys that couldn't physically bend down to stick their face in the water. I think that's probably more accurate. So here Gideon is stuck with 300 probably old decrepit dudes, right? And he's told he's going to go to war. Well, in Judges chapter 7, verse 9, it picks up here in the story as they're kind of on the border of the enemy's camp. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But he says, and this is where this is a little bit more for me, but if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah your servant, and you shall hear what they say. Mm. And afterward, your hands shall be strengthened, because they're probably shaking like this, right? Afterward, your hands will be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah his servant to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. Yeah, that would make you pucker. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said to him, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped, he returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. So all that to say, I think if we're not really bold and brave and courageous, if there's fear in us, you got to hand it over to the Lord.
Absolutely.
God knows you, right?
And again, you know, David, as we talk about the psalmist, right? He says, how can a young man keep his way pure? But by the word of God, by hiding the word of God in our heart, right? I shall not sin against God. And so in moments of a Gideon moment, right, where I'm like, whew, this is tough. Like, I don't know how I would do it, right? Like, even the thought of like, you know, our Canadian brothers who are being arrested for keeping their churches open, right? And the SWAT team comes out, pulls them out of the car, like a felony stop, right? For what? Keeping his church open. I could see where pastors maybe in Canada are afraid, or even Christians who are, you know, wanting to speak up and speak out, but they're afraid of what might come their way. I think we need to fall back on, again, scriptures and remind ourselves, right? And this is what I do. I fall back on verses like Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Paul says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He goes on to say, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul understood tribulation. Paul understood persecution. Paul understood being shipwrecked and left out to die in the sea. I mean, Paul knew what it was to be rich and knew what it was to be poor. And yet in all of that, he said, I know that nothing in this life can separate me from the love of God. So no matter what I face, no matter what's ahead of me or behind me, no matter the famine or the nakedness or the peril or the sword, nothing can separate me from the love of God. And if nothing can separate me from the love of God, again, we go back to my life. If I am not grounded in salvation in Christ Jesus, then yes, fear controls me and I have everything to be afraid of, right? I have everything to be afraid of because I have no hope. Do I put my hope in science? Do I put my hope in the world's philosophies? Do I put my hope in all these other little gods that people worship and bow down to and build with their hands? No, I have a hope in a God who was not made, who is and was and will always be a God who loved me so much that he sent his only son to die for my sins, that I might be with him one day. So no matter what this life may bring, if I'm faced with cancer, if I'm faced with, you know, bankruptcy, if I'm faced with any tribulations, persecution, jail, famine, whatever it might be, I have confidence in who my God is because I know from his word that I won't be separated. And we have confidence too in Gideon, right? Gideon was afraid. And yet every step of the way, God proved himself faithful and called him out, right? You man of valor. And he's like, you got the wrong guy, yeah, right? Hiding in the cellar, trying to throw wheat in the cellar. Yeah, that's not going to work. Yep. You know, and God called him out and said, no, I'm with you. And listen to me, I've got this. And I'm gonna be mighty on your behalf. And he was. And that in itself, he understood who God was. He trusted in God, even though he was afraid the whole way. And it's okay. I mean, we're humans. We're going to have emotions. That's who we are. It's stepping over those emotions and realizing our God is greater and bigger than that. And just as Paul said here, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is where our strength and confidence comes from. That's where in the first three verses of Psalm 27, where David could fully rest and say, the Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold. He's the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He keeps reminding himself, God's my tower. God is the one I'm running to. It's not me. And David fought many battles before this. And he's still reminding himself, God's my stronghold. God's my strength. And it's a constant reminding of who we are in Christ. Again, as we talked about last week on our podcast, our identity in Christ, right? When I'm doubting, when I begin to take my eyes off of who I am in Christ, yeah, I put on this world, man, we're falling apart. We're without hope. Yet I come back to that focus of who Christ is in me and what he's done for me, and nothing can separate us from that.
Yeah. Well, I know we wanted to keep it short tonight because you got to get your beauty sleep.
Trying to grow. Morning comes fast. Back.
Yeah. So maybe to finish, I got a verse here, and I think we can take this very seriously from a guy who has seen heaven and was forbidden to talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. Just a few verses before the one you quoted here in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
So if we are afraid, dealing with fear, facing tribulation, like, most people probably are and probably should be, right? So if you're facing that kind of stuff, just know that it's not even comparable to what glory is going to be revealed when we come into the presence of the Father. So with that, I think we'll close her out here. If you're good with that, Josiah.
Absolutely. I think that is amazing ending.
Right on. So as we close, we're going to just pray real quick. Also for Michael, who's lost migraine, and Steve, who is overworked and underpaid. We're going to pray for him too. So Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together tonight. I know this was a short one, but I believe that it was intentional and it was led by you. So we thank you for being here. Father, we pray that this was for someone specific and that you will speak through us, using us just as a conduit, Lord, that we're just a delivery system for your word straight to someone who needs it. Lord, we lift up Michael in prayer tonight. We pray that his migraine, however it's being caused, Lord, that the cause of it will be defeated and the effect of it will be subdued, Father. We also pray that that Steve will have time, something that none of us have enough of, but we pray that he will have the time to come into your presence, that he will have the time to be with you, and that he will have the time to do that which you have called him to do. And Father, thank you for Josiah, for that that awesome diploma. I'm sure it was a lot of work. And we ask, Lord, that you would use what you have put on his heart and that you would allow us to be used for your glory.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, I don't really have a whole lot of other stuff. Like I say every week, we are on social media. Josiah's got this Facebook stuff nailed down. So you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Let's see. Something in the works is thinlinebelievers.com. You can get on there, but yeah, it's a work in progress if you want to check it out. Otherwise, God bless. Have a good week. Reach out to us. We like to pray for you, whether it's private or public. Take care.